Nicholas von Amsdorf was the only nobleman in Luther's inner circle, yet few people today have ever heard of him. Learn more about one of the first evangelical bishops in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Nicholas von Amsdorf, champion of Martin Luther's Reformation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Nicholas von Amsdorf. In what alternate universe does a simple, polite compliment like, "You look great," which caused no offense to the person receiving the compliment, get you called into the office and lead to your resignation? Apparently, we're living in that universe, wherever it is. We're going to be talking about a St. Louis radio personality who pays a compliment, then resigns on this Thursday afternoon, April the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Rebecca Curtis joins us. She's a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary. She's co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, "St. Louis Public Radio Loses Longtime Host Over Telling Woman, You Look Great." Rebecca, welcome back.
Hello, thanks.
So tell us this downright bizarre story of Don Marsh's termination / resignation from St. Louis public radio station KWMU.
It is truly strange. Don Marsh hosted a daily radio show for St. Louis Public Radio called St. Louis on the Air, and it just covered local events and personalities. And last week, he was interviewing Karen Foss, who is a retired anchor from St. Louis local TV station. She walked into the studio and he greeted her and said, "You look great." And they went on to have the interview. You can listen to it all on their podcast. And it's very cordial and friendly. And they clearly know each other and have a lot in common as broadcasters who have been around for a long time. And that was the end of it. But apparently someone heard that greeting that he gave to Karen Foss just as she walked into the studio and decided that was not an okay thing for him to have said. So he got called into by the station manager the next day for a meeting. And one of the things that came up in that meeting was this interchange that he had had with Karen Foss. And the way Don Marsh told the story to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch was that he ended up asking, "So is what I said okay?" And the person to whom he was speaking kind of gave him the so-so gesture apparently and said, "It's kind of borderline." And Don Marsh at that point said, "That's it, I'm done," and offered his resignation. The statement from St. Louis Public Radio says that that exchange with Karen Foss had not been the point of the meeting and that it did come up, but that's not really why he left. And so you have conflicting stories from Don Marsh himself and from the station as to what really happened and why he really resigned.
What was Karen Foss's reaction to all of this?
She learned about it secondhand, and she went to Facebook and wrote a fairly long statement saying that she was appalled by what had happened, that she did not find his comments at all derogatory or insulting. She said that as a woman in journalism and in news, that she knows what that looks like, and she didn't take it that way at all. She was astonished that anyone would, and she thought the whole thing had been handled badly and didn't approve at all of what had gone on.
So you had mentioned just a moment ago KWMU's explanation. How would you characterize their explanation of Marsh's termination?
You know, to an outsider, it sounds like typical HR speak. They want to make it sound like there's no controversy and everybody is on good terms, and they do outright deny his version of events, where that conversation that he had in this meeting was what led to his resignation on the spot. So it's hard to know what the whole story is. They tell people outright they're not going to tell us the whole story, that there are private interior matters that don't concern the public, and so we're not going to get that information. But it does leave everyone kind of scratching their heads and saying, well, we know what Don Marsh said to the Post-Dispatch, and it really sounds pretty screwy.
All right, then, in what universe would a geriatric man greeting a longtime friend of a similar age and saying, "You look great," something I've done probably 1,000 times with women with whom it's appropriate. In what universe is that considered inappropriate?
Well, certainly in the NPR universe, and that's the universe that they are trying to sell to the rest of us, and we're all having to live in it. And it does create this environment of constant fear and uncertainty as to what is okay and what is not. And if something so indefensible can be made public and receive all this attention and still nothing appears to be rectified, where does that leave the rest of us? It is newspeak straight out of 1984, and there's no way to win in this system.
Why would it seem reasonable to KWMU management to terminate Marsh if only in part for telling someone you look great?
Now, technically, he did resign. He wasn't terminated by the station. They accepted his resignation. And surely there are a lot of other factors that go into it. He is 80 years old. He was probably going to retire at some point. But you get the impression from the story that he tells the Dispatch where he says, "That's it, I'm done." You do detect some frustration there and some indication that he's seen enough and he's not going to put up with it anymore. And, you know, the station certainly doesn't appear to have bent over backwards to talk him out of that decision.
So if this would have been Don Marsh greeting fellow broadcaster, let's say Larry Connors or Mike Bush, saying, "You look great," what kind of reaction would it have gotten?
Well, it's impossible to know because even the person receiving that greeting doesn't get to decide. This was decided by an eavesdropper, somebody who happened to overhear it. And that person's perception is what set this whole chain of events into action. And that's what's really terrifying about it, is even Karen Foss herself coming out and saying, "This did not offend me, except in the sense that Don Marsh has been treated really badly here." That meant nothing. And all of these things are being determined by people whose whole job is carrying the goalposts around. Like I said, you can't win at this game. The rules of the game are some arbitrary person arbitrarily decides what's acceptable and what's not, and no one else can win at that.
Now, Marsh's comment would have been considered just a polite compliment, completely unremarkable. I was going to say 15 minutes ago, but let's be generous and say 5 years ago. What's changed since then?
Even 5 years ago, the transgender movement didn't have the traction that it does now. There are things that wouldn't be said that are said now that have been normalized to children and in all company. We used to say things like, I remember a professor I had in college who had certain stories that he wouldn't tell if there was a lady in the classroom, out of deference to her, because he knew it was a guy story and that it would make everyone uncomfortable to have it told with a lady in the room. And that's the kind of thing that, it's the kind of deference that people don't show anymore, and even a courtesy that people will find offensive. Like, if you can't tell that story in front of me, then why are you telling it at all? Or what's so different about me that I can't hear it? Why are you shutting me out of this discourse? And the slippery slope gets steeper and steeper with every passing unit of time. And the modes of politeness that used to be familiar to everyone, even if they weren't formal, have now been thrown out the window, so no one knows how to act.
What should have KWMU management, what should have they done when one of their employees essentially tattled on Don Marsh for saying, "You look great," to his longtime friend?
My personal opinion is that that employee who tattled should have been the one called into a meeting and said, "You are overdoing it. You have lost touch with reality. Look at this man. Look at his career. Look at this woman in her career. Her feelings weren't hurt," which is evidenced by the fact that they went on to have this interview that was available for anyone to hear at this time. They clearly have a camaraderie there that is expressed in the way they speak to each other. The interview is funny to listen to. You can tell that they are both enjoying themselves. There is nothing to indicate that either of them had anything weird going on. The person with something weird going on was the one who overheard that, thought there was something wrong with it, and decided to make trouble for these two completely decent people.
We're talking about a St. Louis radio personality who pays a compliment, then resigns. Our guest, Rebecca Curtis, is co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically. This is a book that whether you are a woman or a man, reading it will cleanse the evils of feminism from your mind, body, and soul. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for Ladylike. It's available in print as an ebook and as an audiobook. When we come back, what is behind the idea that men are not supposed to notice how women look, much less say anything about it nowadays? Or maybe, perhaps, men are not supposed to even notice that women are women. We'll be right back.
Christians in the public square, joyfully Lutheran, the Lord's Supper, political and religious conservatism, the Hippocratic Oath. Some of your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong, Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a St. Louis radio personality who pays a compliment, then resigns. Rebecca Curtis, author of a column for The Federalist titled St. Louis Public Radio Loses a Longtime Host Over Telling Woman You Look Great, is our guest. Have you thought about attending the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, but wondered, what about my children? Well, thanks to Lutheran Church Extension Fund sponsorship, childcare and meals are free for children ages 1 through 12. Making the Case is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. You can meet it here, Ross Douthat of the New York Times, LCMS President Matt Harrison, Wesley Smith of National Review, Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire, Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine, and LCMS Worship Director Will Whedon. Attendance is limited to 500. Registration is $125 and includes meals Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon and evening. You can register online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your $125 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it along with the downloadable registration form to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Rebecca, more broadly, what is behind the idea that men are not supposed to notice how women look nowadays, much less say anything about it? Or I would wonder whether or not it's pressing toward men are not allowed to even notice that women are women.
Well, of course, the flip side of that is that you can make a woman feel very bad by giving her the impression that you don't find her attractive. So once again, this is a game where no one wins. Women want to be made to feel that they look good, and yet you can't say it, you can't imply it, and if you do, you can lose your job. So since all of the rules are subjective, determined entirely by self-appointed police officers of this non-existent etiquette, it puts everyone into a terrible position of not knowing how to function socially.
Talk about the sad but necessary progression of these kind of progressive knee-jerk reactions.
Well, this has just been the whole history of feminism, is trying to paint men as mistreating women and demonstrating the ways in which they do that. So in my article, I referenced the David Mamet play Oleana, which is truly fascinating. It's a story of a college professor and a student butting heads over her perception that he's incredibly sexist, and how she is able to just utterly manipulate and control him by her threats and by her version of how his interacting with people is sexist and wrong. And I encourage you to, I don't know if anybody would be able to catch a stage production, there is a movie of it I haven't seen, or just read the script. That is the perfect example of where all of this fearful and anger-driven rhetoric has gotten us, where people's hands are just completely tied when it comes to socializing, and you cannot say anything right, because not to say something is also offensive. And it just leaves everyone hamstrung and unable to interact or have friendly relationships.
What's the feminist lesson that men are supposed to learn from incidents like Don Marsh's retirement or resignation from KWMU?
Well, that's the beauty of it. You can't learn the lesson. The lesson to be learned is be careful, because you can't know. You can't know when you've said or done the wrong thing, or you can't know when you failed to say or do the right thing. You get in trouble both directions, by sins of omission and sins of commission. And I think it really goes back to, there's an ancient legend that it appears in some versions of the King Arthur fables or other medieval stories, where a man is on a quest to find out what it is that women truly want. And so he talks to, you know, all the world's women and just cannot get a straight answer. Every woman seems to want a different thing, until finally he comes to someone who says, "Haven't you figured it out yet? What a woman really wants is to have her own way in all things." And that's the truth. That's how sinful nature works itself out. And of course, you know, we can say that that's true for men too. That's what all people want. But when men are trying to figure out women, I think that's a pretty decent rule of thumb. So how are you supposed to live with that? The answer is there's no answer. And in order to proceed, what you do is you form relationships where two people care about each other, they know that they care about each other, and you form a larger social network where there is that expectation of care and concern and willingness to listen and to forgive and to maintain a relationship, because it's worth it to do that. without that understanding and that basis for etiquette and compassion and commitment, it all falls apart. It disables any kind of conversation or care because it can't be accomplished. And that's what we see in this situation, that there couldn't be a resolution that made everyone happy. And so Don Marsh was the fall guy. He was an old white man. He's the guy who's supposed to go down, and he did.
The irony here, as you note in your Federalist piece, is that Don Marsh was pretty darn woke already, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've lived in the St. Louis area a long time. I would catch his show, you know, pretty often. And he absolutely bent over backwards to preach the company gospel. He wanted everyone to know that he was on board with the stereotypical NPR outlook, and he was always very sensitive to perceived slights and offenses. I give the example of this recent controversy they had covering the World Chess Championship back in January, where, as a live listener, I really kind of perceived that he threw his studio guest under the bus. It was really rather strange. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. All the time he had put in making that clear about himself, making his position understood to the listening audience, did him no good in the end.
What's the real lesson we should learn from this incident?
I think the real lesson here is be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. There is no winning against the people who hold this outlook that the rules are what we say they are at the moment we say they are, and that we can decide later that we've changed those rules. And we just have to know that about the world in which we're living. We are not of this world. This world cannot forgive. It cannot listen with understanding. It is not willing to love as our Lord loves, because love is the only thing that allows people to live in relationships in this fallen world, to bear each other's burdens, and to be committed to having good and strong relationships rooted in the love of Christ. And so when we are out in the world, we have to be aware of that, to be very careful of what we say, and also to be willing to stand up for what's right, because this is a pretty big story in St. Louis. It's been one of the most popular stories at STL Today for a number of days now. And I hope that more people will stand up and say, this is ridiculous. This is not how we want to live. It's not how our normal lives go. It's not worth it to stand by meaningless principles instead of real people.
When I first read the story, I immediately thought incongruously of late night TV host Jimmy Fallon, who regularly tells his female guests when they come on, you look great.
It's a standard greeting. It's not weird at all.
If this could happen to someone as woke as Don Marsh, what are the rest of us supposed to do in the workplace?
Oh, you're done for. You're done for. You just got to know that in the workplace, these are the operative rules. Surely there are workplaces that are different. You know, probably the Issues Etc. studio is a pretty unwoke place. Certainly one would hope that churches, Christian schools, and other church employers would have an ethic that is governed by forgiveness and wisdom, rather than being reactionary and obsessed with today's immediate contemporary values, which are morally bankrupt. But it is very difficult, because you never know what's going on inside another person's head. And since that is the governing principle for judgment of all interpersonal behavior now, it makes the world a very difficult place in which to live.
Rebecca Curtis is a pastor's wife and mother of 7 children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary. She's co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and a recent column for The Federalist titled St. Louis Public Radio Loses Longtime Host Over Telling Woman, You Look Great. Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rebecca, thanks.
Hey, thanks. You look great.
Gee, thanks. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Paul McCain lead us in a teaching on the blessings of baptism from Luther's Small Catechism, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. If you've ever considered the vocation of deaconess, Check out the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.